Welcome to the Be Moved and Bloom podcast. If you're ready to dive deep, find incredible inspiration, and let yourself bloom into who you're truly meant to be, you're in the right place. Here you'll find transformational stories, spiritual tools, and practical wisdom to help you be your best self. Get ready to be moved and bloom. She wanted me to know that she was giving up alcohol, she was going sober, and that the reason is I was the inspiration for that because I had shared a couple of times that I've done this year without booze. And that moved me so much, I probably cried because I never would have ever thought I could be anyone's inspiration for not drinking. I thought I could, you know, in the past, probably definitely be inspiration for not drinking in the sense that you don't want to end up like this girl, but never, you know, the inspiration for actually doing it myself. So this podcast episode is dedicated to Jackie because she is the inspo. And yeah, and that really touched me. And I wanted to share why and how I decided to stop drinking for a year plus, and how you can too, if that's what you're called to. If it's not, then that's totally cool too. But Jackie, this one's for you. So I want to preface this episode by saying there is absolutely no judgment on my part, you know, with regards to how much anyone drinks. I don't care what anyone else does regarding booze. You know, unless they're like really harming someone else. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, this was purely a personal choice for me and my mindset and my health. And yeah, no judgment at all. I know that many people, maybe most people I told anyway, first of all, especially last year, were like, you're crazy. You did it the opposite way to most people who may have started drinking more frequently during lockdown of last year. And yeah, like I said, I'm just sharing this was my personal experience. It's an ongoing journey, of course. And yeah, no judgment, babes. Everyone reacted to 2020, to the pandemic. You know, obviously it's not over, it's still going on. But when it was new, especially, you know, everyone just reacted to what was happening in their own way. It was unprecedented and there was no right way to have reacted, you know, since it was just turned the whole world upside down. And turning to booze, you know, that's like, it's a very normal, natural seeming thing to do in this society, especially. Yeah, I just wanted to open with that because this podcast is a judgment-free zone. And as always, I'm just rambling about my personal experiences. But I have had now in March of this year, so in March of 2021, I am pretty much exactly a year after we first heard about COVID really being a serious global pandemic, I marked 1 year without booze. And since then, of this year, I've had maybe a couple of drinks, like two instances where I had like one drink, and honestly, not really feeling it now, not really feeling the booze. But I'm gonna go backwards and talk about how I did it and also share some, you know, share my reasons why. But also, if you are looking to cut out anything, like, you know, it could be alcohol, it could be something, other substances, it might be a habit that you really aren't enjoying yourself doing. If you're looking to cut anything out, you know, I'm going to share a few tips that I found helpful during this whole journey of over a year of no alcohol now. So honestly, the decision to stop drinking, first of all, I'm a person who never would have thought I would be ever giving up drinking. Like, I even joked once with a friend when we were at another friend's wedding that you know, I've given up so much. Like I no longer eat meat or really any animal products, you know, given up many, many things food wise and drink wise. But I was like, I would never give up alcohol. It's too good. But here we are. You can always change and you might surprise yourself with your changes. But honestly, my main reason to decide to stop drinking last year was a lot to do with how I didn't want to feel. I mentioned in some of the previous podcasts that last February, I began a year-long commitment to a Kundalini and spiritual business coaching mastermind group. So it was like a year-long commitment where we, as part of this course, it was with Elevate the Globe, my fave Kundalini teachers. Just hit them up if you need any Kundalini yoga inspiration. But during this course, we were required to, or like strongly suggested to, do daily Kundalini kriyas of at least like 30 minutes. Usually it was more than 30 minutes, and plus a meditation, which was usually 20 minutes plus. So at least an hour, pretty much, of Kundalini yoga and meditation. We were strongly suggested to also practice early in the morning, as early as possible. And also during that time, I was doing some, before lockdown, I was doing in-person 6 a.m. yoga classes at my studio that I taught at a couple of times a week, two or three, can't remember. and then that switched to online, but it was still pretty much the same time. It was early in the morning. Plus, I was doing another online job that was early in the morning, teaching English to children online, children in China. So with the time zone, I was required to be up super early for all of this. So, you know, that just kind of all happened during last year. And I decided, like, I don't want to be hungover dragging myself out of bed to teach yoga or practice yoga or teach children and like have to be so up and energized, you know, while hungover early in the morning. It just wasn't going to happen for me. So a large part of it was kind of like an avoidance strategy of, you know, having the understanding of myself and my previous experience with hangovers, which was, you know, every time I went out and drunk, I got obliterated, you know, in the past. And being hungover was just standard. Like, obviously, you're going to be super hungover, probably throwing up most of the next day. So decided I couldn't be doing that. And also with, you know, all the fear, the craziness that was 2020, you know, for everyone's mental health, probably, I was definitely not unaffected by everything happening. And, you know, I just also didn't want to feel more anxious. I always, in the past, if I had been out drinking all night and then in the morning, I would usually feel super anxious and regretful, like, oh my God, what a twat I was being or whatever. And yeah, just that feeling of like doom anxiety that maybe you're familiar with. I just couldn't be handling when everything was going on with the pandemic as well. And, you know, it's taken me this long of practicing yoga and going through therapy and doing a lot of inner work up until this point to know myself enough to even recognize these things in myself. And yeah, I finally kind of felt at a point where I was able to make the choice of choosing something that would be more positive for me. So that was kind of my why. It was out of really avoiding feelings I didn't want to be feeling and the commitments I had made and wanting to uphold those. So I'm really grateful for Elevate the Globe, of course, and the whole mastermind that really kept me motivated to commit to those daily meditations and kriyas. Yeah, I think it really accelerated or definitely catalyzed the decision to stop drinking. I also, at that time, Jeff, my husband, and I were living with our roommates in our friend's house. So two roommates, and they are also actually both sober. One had gone through recovery program not that long before. And so nobody was drinking in the house anyway. Like, if you have roommates, and, you know, maybe it was the case for a lot of you listening, if you've got roommates or just you have friends nearby, you'd get together during lockdown and drink and be like, well, we can see each other in our houses. Here we go. Like, this is our social life now. But, you know, they weren't drinking, so that just made it that much easier. You know, like, if it's around you, it's so much easier to jump in and say yes. So that was definitely a huge, huge part of it as well. And another reason was because later in 2020, when things did start going back to being allowed to be in person again, classes and stuff, I began teaching more and more in recovery treatment centers and also in a women's shelter for women who had suffered or were in danger of domestic violence. People, you know, who were in recovery from all kinds of substances, booze included. And that kind of motivated me even more to keep the sobriety going, or at least keep the booze-free element going, to, you know, support that element of my career and my work and support all the people who I was interacting with and teaching. I didn't want to, you know, I probably would have gotten fired if I had shown up to teach in a treatment center where I'm all hungover and, you know, you can smell the booze in my sweat, whatever. So that was a large part of it as well. And just getting more close with the recovery community in Frederick, where I was living, and realizing how important working with people in recovery is to me. I've not been through it myself, but there's something about it that I am so drawn to, because I feel like it could so easily be me in, you know, a really shitty situation where I would need to turn to a formal program of recovery. So that is, yeah, a huge part of my reasons as well for stopping the booze. But like I said, of course, there's no judgment here. You know, I know friends who it was just daily drinking during the pandemic, because it's like, what the fuck else are we going to do? Where else is our joy? But what I found through doing all the yoga, inner work in general, also working out more at home, Jeff and I got into all the beach body workouts, like P90X. We did all three of them during last year. So that was definitely another motivation to, you know, not be hungover, was I've got to do an hour long workout, as well as the yoga stuff, as well as keep myself sane. So that was how it all kind of happened. And due to all of these reasons, like the circumstances, who I was living with, what was going on right in my life right then, due to all of that, I found it a lot easier than I ever thought I would have. And I never intended to make giving up booze for a year be the goal. I actually didn't really even think about it that much. It was more a case of it just not being on my radar to drink. And like I said, it's a lot to do with where I was living at the time, who I was living with, and what they were doing, because if they had been drinking, obviously the temptation is far greater to just join in. But yeah, I never set out to make it like a big year-long thing. I was kind of just, it got to be a few months, I think. And then I was like, maybe I'll just see how long I can keep this going. And a large part of that as well is, you know, honestly, the only people I was hanging out with was my husband and my roommates at home, you know, friends very occasionally in person, and then hanging out online with some of my closest friends in London over Zoom parties, which was honestly a highlight of 2020 for me. I don't know if anyone else did that with your friend groups or with any groups that you're part of, but I know obviously we all got very familiar with Zoom and probably got sick of it by now. But yeah, you know, last spring and into the summer, that was where it was at. But with all of these people, you know, people I'm super close with, I've come to the point, again, like I said, due to all the yoga, the inner work that I've already done, I just felt like, you know what, I'm at a point where I feel okay in myself enough to not need alcohol as that social crutch to, you know, be more fun around other people. And luckily, you know, everyone I was hanging out with didn't have a problem with me not drinking. I know that can also be a factor of why people kind of cave or go back to it when they are trying to stop. But yeah, it just made me realize I'm actually okay. You know, like I can dance around my room on Zoom with all my friends in London, completely sober, and it's still fun, even if I'm not drinking. So that was an interesting kind of revelation for me as well. It's like, huh, I wonder what else I would enjoy without being under the influence of something. And I'm curious to know if anyone else has ever felt like that, or if you've ever, you know, tried to stop drinking or tried to stop with any other habits. But I wanted to share a few things that really helped me, and I've kind of already said them, but just to make it a bit more succinct. You know, if you are trying to give up something, say it's not alcohol, but say that you're trying to use social media less, which is something we could probably all do with, but it's really, really difficult because, you know what, it's so addictive. It's designed to be addictive. It works with our brain chemistry to, you know, keep us on it, literally like a drug. So yeah, say that that's what you're trying to do, but it's really difficult. I'm sharing this because sometimes I really want to use social media less than I do. But say that that's your thing. And, you know, you've been made a few attempts before, but you actually want to go like a week this time without looking at any of the social media apps. Something you could do, and this goes for anything you're trying to, you know, give up for a while, even if it's you giving it up for a day. Like sometimes I find it difficult to even do that with social media. But some things that might help you stay steadfast in your commitment to yourself, in your commitment to stopping that thing, whatever it is. One thing I would say, first of all, would be to take a moment, you know, take as long as you like, to write down, or at least think about, and then write down why you are stopping this thing. Like maybe write out how this thing makes you feel, and then why you don't want to feel that way. And then maybe write down as well, you could have like three columns on a page. And then the third one is write down how you do want to feel. And then you can just take a look at what you've written, because, you know, this is self-knowledge and knowledge is power. You'll know more about yourself from whatever you wrote down. And then in the third column of how you do want to feel, can you think of any things, any activities, any practices, any people you like being around that do make you feel those emotions that you, how you would like to feel? So once you have all that, just kind of mull it over, and maybe you make a plan to go on a hike with a friend that whole day. And you might even leave your phone at home, you might put it on airplane mode, and that would make it really easy to not look at your social media apps that day. Or maybe you're not doing that, you'll be at home and you'll have work, but you could also, you know, put it away. I'm sure there's loads of plugins and different apps like Screen Time on the iPhone. I know there's a bunch of different ones to help you help block certain websites or certain apps after a certain amount of time you spend on them. So you could definitely implement some of those. And then, but if you're at home, you know, you have work at home, but afterwards or in the middle of your day, which of those activities that you thought about that bring those emotions that you've written down that you want to feel, what can you do? Maybe you have a 5-minute dance around your living room to up your energy, just blast a really upbeat, amazing song that, you know, that moves you, and move your body, shake out the energy. and you won't feel like looking at your phone afterwards. Or maybe you go for a walk around your little neighborhood after work or during a lunch break. Maybe you really take some time to savor the food that you make for your lunch or your dinner, and you just, again, leave your phone on airplane mode, leave your phone in a different room. You can even lock it in, a cupboard with a lock if you have that, if you feel like that would help you. There's literally so many things you can do, but basically the point I'm making is it's really key to kind of replace the habit with a different habit. Because if you take something away, like alcohol or like social media or whatever the addictive behavior is that's not making you feel good, if you take it away but you don't replace it with anything, then there's no hope. Then you're just going to go back to it. It's inevitable. So like for me, during 2020, it was Kundalini practice and the commitment I made, making myself get up early and doing that. And this is twofold. So the commitment that you make, the habit that you replace the behavior you want to change with, they work together. Because whatever activity or whatever thing, and it can be different things, different times and days, but whatever you're switching your habit to, it has a twofold benefit. Because you'll be feeling good from whatever you're doing. Like in my case, I was feeling good from practicing a lot of Kundalini yoga. And also you'll be feeling so good that you don't need that thing that you usually reach for when you're not feeling good. It's like it's always just trying to fill a void or distract us, or, it serves a purpose, because otherwise they wouldn't be so popular. All the popular vices that we're addicted to, like technology and alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex addiction, like all of these things serve a purpose of either distracting us or filling some kind of void in our being that we, in some way are unfulfilled. So if you're filling yourself up with that thing, that activity, that practice, that person that you love seeing, whatever it is, if you're filling yourself up with that, it's making you feel, it's first of all taking up your attention and time, and so you're not on your phone or drinking or whatever. And then also it's filling you up, making you feel great, so that you don't even, think about needing to distract yourself. And I know that it is so much easier said than done. Trust me, I've been there for a whole year or more. But yeah, this is really the key. It's, switch your, I think Swami Shivananda had a book, or definitely had a quote saying replacing vices with virtues. So, and the replacing is really important, because like I said, if you just stop like cold turkey but aren't replacing it with anything, it's gonna fail instantly or very soon, because it's just our nature to continue, like old habits do die hard. But if you're creating that new habit, takes a bit longer, takes work most of the time. But if you're committed to it, and if you know that, whatever habit it is, isn't serving you, and you do want to make that change, then you'll commit and you'll find the way. Trust me. So those are really the biggest tips I would have about it. Also, the kind of obvious one, but should be said anyway, is, if it's not in your house, if you're not around it as much, you're definitely not gonna need it or do it as much. So obviously that's really difficult with technology or phones, because they are in our house and we basically do need them. But with alcohol, for example, if you're not buying it, it's a lot harder to drink it. If you're not going out with that certain group of friends that you know you feel like you do want to get really, really drunk with. Or maybe you just see them for dinner instead of a full-blown night out. You know, you can remove yourself from scenarios and situations that might, you know, tempt you. Or you might, you know, be completely fine with going anyway, you know, if you want to see those friends, for example, and just see how a night goes without drinking or doing whatever you're trying to give up. I will say there are a lot more options these days for like non-alcoholic beverages than there used to be. So yeah, that's always an option too. But definitely, you know, if you're trying not to drink at home every day, like maybe was a habit during lockdown, then not having it at your house is definitely going to help with that. And it's the same with, you know, if you know you really don't want to eat a giant bag of corn chips because it doesn't make you feel good, but it's really difficult to stop once you start eating them, then maybe don't buy the big bag of corn chips to begin with. So those are my tips for aiding whatever giving up of that you're trying to do, if you are, and if you're not, totally cool. But anytime that you notice that you're doing something that isn't feeling good, but you continue to do it anyway, and that happens with so many of us with so many different habits and even just thought patterns, you know, you can be addicted to being like mean to yourself. It's, yeah, there's just so many kind of damaging thought patterns and habits that we can get into mentally and, you know, actual things that we're doing. Anytime that you notice that something is going on that's really not making you feel good, you have the power to stop it. But it really does come, first of all, from the awareness and just paying a bit more attention to how you're feeling and what is needed in order to be able to pay attention to how you're feeling is really getting a bit more present. Because a lot of the time we're just in our distraction, in our addictive behavior, in whatever, you know, whirlwind we're living in, or we're completely up in our heads worrying about everything going on in the world, that we're not actually present to how we're feeling and what we're doing and how what we're doing is making us feeling. So I would advise, or, you know, definitely recommend just practicing presence. Great way to do that is meditation. It can be as simple as just taking a moment to pause, take 3 deep breaths, and then notice how you feel. Continue with your day. Meditating in the morning is amazing for really setting up your day, creating intentions around how you want the day to go and how you want to feel that specific day. You know, there is so much power in all of these practices, even though it might seem crazy to some people. It might seem like an awful lot to some people as well, but it definitely doesn't have to be, you know, a full-blown yoga class and half-hour meditation and then, you know, a bunch of other things as well. It can be as simple as you stop what you're doing for 2 seconds and breathe in and breathe out and see how you feel and go from there. And the last thing I would say about anything that you're trying to change or anything that you're trying to begin even, or anything you're trying to, any changes you're trying to make in your habits, in your life, you know, they say in recovery, take it one day at a time. Can you go one day, 24 hours without drugs or alcohol? And, you know, that goes for anything. Can you go one whole day without whatever it is that you're trying to give up? Literally just take it a day at a time. If you have committed to doing, say, you know, something daily and you don't do it one day, there's no need to beat yourself up about it. It's literally okay. I've made commitments like that, you know, I make it all the time. And sometimes I do break the daily habit of the thing I'm trying to do, trying to bring in more of. And that's okay. All you have to do is forgive yourself, like love yourself, realize the world isn't stopping turning because you didn't practice yoga that morning or whatever it is. And, you know, tomorrow is a new day. It's cheesy, but it's true. Tomorrow's a new day where you can literally create anything you want. And it's just like a brand new clean slate. So one day at a time and being kind to yourself through whatever journey you're going through is honestly, I think, the best advice I could give in this moment about that. So I'll leave it at that. And, you know, if you are looking for support, because let me tell you, I could not have given up drinking for a year without this commitment to the coaching program I was in with 30 other women supporting me. And, you know, support is so needed. I'm actually going to make a whole other episode about support and friendship and community, because I really think that that is the key to life. And it's just so shunned in our society, this individualistic mindset where we are told that we have to go it alone and do it all ourselves. Like, you literally don't, and you probably can't. So support is so necessary. And that's why I created a new support group through Telegram, the app Telegram. It's the Be Moved Yoga Soul Support Group in Telegram. And you are welcome to join. I would love to see you in there if you're looking for just the support of a community around you, bigging you up, sharing wins with each other, sharing anything that we're needing support with. And, you know, I'm the mediator of the group, so I'm offering support, my advice, but also encouraging everyone in the group to, you know, just be there for each other. And that's what it's all about. And that's what everyone in there is committed to. So if you want to be a part of the group, join the crew, you'll get instant messaging from me and from the group members with support with whatever you need and encouragement. And also I'll be sending out free yoga practices every couple of weeks. Just short videos to keep you motivated, maybe try something new and move you to be moved and bloom into who you're truly meant to be. So you can join the Telegram group by going to my Instagram page. You can go to Be Moved Yoga and hit the link in my bio, and there's a link to join the group there. You just need to pop your email in and then I'll send you the details, and I'll need your phone number. So so there's always that as well. I would love to have you in the community, and I can't wait to see you in there if you're joining. Remember that whatever you're doing, you can do it, and we're all here to support you along the way. So sending you so much love. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, and if you want to share it with someone who you think needs to hear this, then please, I encourage you to do so. Lots of love. The link in my bio, and there's a link to join the group there. You just need to pop your email in, and then I'll send you the details, and I'll need your phone number. So so there's always that as well. I would love to have you in the community, and I can't wait to see you in there if you're joining. Remember that whatever you're doing, you can do it, and we're all here to support you along the way. So sending you so much love. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, and if you want to share it with someone who you think needs to hear this, then please, I encourage you to do so. Lots of love. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you heard this. To stay connected with me, head to bemovedyoga.com and sign up for my email list. I'm also bemovedyoga on Instagram. Catch up with you soon. Lots of love from Louise.